Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
There's a new DA in town in Manhattan, District Attorney Alvin Bragg, and he takes office and he promises that he will stop prosecuting people for theft of services, trespassing, aggravated unlicensed operation, routine traffic violations, not accompanied by felony charges. If you obstruct governmental administration, not going to be prosecuted. If you resist arrest, believe it or not, you won't be prosecuted for that either, as well as prostitution. And this is based on studies that say that misdemeanor cases in the United States arises from the criminalization of relatively common behaviors. Since when did all of this become common? Here to talk to us about that and other issues is Zach Smith, legal fellow in the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Zach, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
So, Zach, we find ourselves in this situation where individuals, based on their own ideology, get to decide once elected to office what they're going to prosecute and what they're not by class of crime. This just continues to astound me.
Well, it's absolutely mind-boggling. When you think about what's actually being done here, you have a district attorney, a prosecutor, whose job is supposed to be to enforce the laws that the legislature's passed. And what's essentially happening in many cities around the country, and most recently with Alvin Bragg in Manhattan, as you mentioned, is a lot of these rogue prosecutors just saying, you know what, I don't like that crime. I disagree with the legislature, so I'm not going to do my job. I'm not going to prosecute those offenses. And unfortunately, you've seen the positions of many of these rogue prosecutors becoming more and more radical over time. You saw George Gascon out in L.A., issue a lengthy policy memorandum outlining all the crimes he would no longer prosecute, all the sentencing enhancements he would no longer seek. And unfortunately, it looks like Alvin Bragg in Manhattan took a lesson and a page out of George Gascon's playbook and issued his own policy memo basically saying, I'm not going to prosecute a lot of crimes. And even for the crimes that I am going to prosecute, there's going to be a presumption of a non-carceral sentence. And that just means he's not going to seek jail in most cases.
Well, I mean, non-carceral sentence is one thing, but when he comes right out and says, I'm not going to prosecute people for theft of services, I mean, what is the recourse for the what's the recourse for the victim? Because if you don't prosecute them, there's no possibility of people paying you back. Right.
Right.
Of making good on whatever it is that they stole ever. There's no accountability.
Well, look, unfortunately, I think victims and victims' families are often the forgotten component when a lot of folks talk about criminal justice reform or what needs to be fixed in the criminal justice system. There's a lot of focus on the rights of offenders and what happens to the offender after they are processed through the system. But there's not a lot of focus on the victims and their families and on what comes afterward, after someone has been victimized as a result of these crimes. And unfortunately, I think what we're seeing is that in most cases that are working their way through the system in these rogue prosecutors' offices right now, or if not most, in many cases, the victims are really being victimized twice, once by the person who committed the crime against them, and then again by the policies and practices of these rogue DAs.
So there's a number of studies that are out there, and you heard my lead in where, you know, they're claiming that these misdemeanors and a large volume of misdemeanor cases in the U.S. are the criminalization of common behaviors. Are we now at the point where, as a society, we tolerate theft, we tolerate disturbing the peace, disorderly conduct? I mean, we have 200 people as a result, over 200 as a result of the January 6th riot, that's been arrested and being prosecuted for resisting arrest. And it's, you know, I find it mighty ripe that the progressives are all about making sure that those individuals get prosecuted. But here we have a progressive DA that says, I'm not going to prosecute resisting arrest cases.
Well, look, I think it's important to highlight what types of crimes are not going to be prosecuted by these rogue DAs. In many cases, it is our so-called quality of life crimes. That's how the rogue DA out in San Francisco, Chase Abudin, and others refer to them. Chase Abudin says he's not going to prosecute misdemeanor marijuana possession. He's not going to prosecute most misdemeanor drug possessions. In some cases, he's not even going to prosecute a drug possession with intent to distribute. Alvin Bragg has said the same thing. If he deems someone to be a, quote, low-level street dealer, he's going to offer them a very lenient plea deal to resolve that case. But look, I think what we've seen from cities around the country is that these crimes are really not victimless. When you don't prosecute these crimes, it allows a culture of lawlessness to flourish, which drives further violence, further crimes, and ultimately leads to more serious offenses. I mean, look at the murder statistics in Philadelphia, Chicago, Los Angeles for the past year. They're absolutely through the roof. Philadelphia not only set an all-time record for murders in the city of brotherly love, but the shootings were also astronomically high as well. And so I think the more this culture of lawlessness is permitted to exist or even encouraged in some cases, we're going to unfortunately continue to see these very tragic headlines.
So, you know, we right now, because of the anniversary of January 6th, we're hearing everybody talk about their support of the Constitution, right? And at the federal level, we have this separation of powers. At the state level, we have the same thing. We have the role of the legislative body and the deliberation of same that passes laws that are based on the customs and norms of society at large, right? How is it that one can say that they believe in the constitutional framework of our government, and yet they abuse this word discretion, where before they even take the oath, they're saying, I'm not prosecuting any of these laws that have been passed by the deliberative body, otherwise known as the state legislature?
No, that is a fantastic point for a couple of reasons. Look, essentially what many of these rogue prosecutors are doing, they're simply asserting the power of the legislature for themselves. They've essentially deemed themselves to be a one man or one woman legislative body that can essentially nullify the legislative acts of the real state legislature in the state where they're elected. That's very problematic. It sets a very troubling precedent. But it also, you're right, many of these rogue prosecutors are saying, well, we're just exercising prosecutorial discretion. Now, anyone who's a lawyer, anyone who's ever been a prosecutor or a police officer is very familiar with the term prosecutorial discretion. But I want to be clear, what these rogue DAs are doing, that is not prosecutorial discretion as that term has been traditionally understood. Traditionally, prosecutorial discretion just means you look at the facts and issues in each case individually, and then make a determination whether to bring charges, and if so, what charges to bring. You may dismiss a case because there's not enough supporting evidence. There may be other factors that might lead you to offer a plea agreement to a specific defendant. But prosecutorial discretion is not this wholesale nullification of entire categories of crime that you just traditionally disagree with. That's not prosecutorial discretion. That's prosecutorial usurpation of the legislative authority.
Right. I mean, because he or she does not have the freedom to really decide whatever they want to decide, and without an evaluation. I mean, that's the thing. When they pre-termit this whole thing by saying before they even take the oath of office, I'm not going to prosecute this class, or that class a crime. They have usurped the legislative authority. I'm curious, do you think we get to the point that, so for example here, I guess the state attorney general's office would have the authority to say that this is malfeasance or misfeasance in office?
Well, I think you're starting to see citizens in some cities that have suffered under these rogue prosecutors a little bit longer beginning to get fed up and pushing back in some ways. And the way that's going to look in each state is going to be a little bit different depending on state law and state practices. But out in California, there have been recall petitions filed against George Gascon in Los Angeles and Chase Abudin in San Francisco. You're seeing other folks becoming very upset with rogue DAs in other states as well. In Virginia, where there's a new Republican attorney general who will be taking office shortly, or who just took office, he's asking the Virginia state legislature to give him authority to prosecute cases that the local rogue DAs in Fairfax County, Arlington County, and Loudoun County, cases that they will not prosecute when they should be prosecuting them. And so I think as more folks become aware of these rogue DAs, aware of the rogue radical policies they're enacting, and really, more importantly, of the tragic consequences that flow from these radical policies, I think we'll start to see more and more pushback against these policies and individuals.
And to make matters even worse, in the case of the DA Bragg, he says that he will not seek pretrial detention, only in a small handful of cases: murder or homicide, violent felony offenses, sex offenses, domestic violent felonies, or public corruption cases. So it looks as though he's looking at the instant crime. He's not looking at the quality of the criminal to mean, whether or not this is an impact criminal or not. And it's almost like it doesn't matter what he's done before, he or she has done before. We're going to discount that and not even try to determine whether or not this individual has been a repeated menace to society. So the safety and security of the community at large, of no moment, because we need to worry about the impacts of incarceration, as he points out, that includes barriers to employment and housing and cost and race disparities and an impact on public safety.
Well, what are the impacts? My question, Newell, for Alvin Bragg and these other rogue DAs would be, what's the impact on the communities, on the safety of the community, the ability of members of the community to find gainful employment, housing, all of those things, if they're going to be repeatedly subjected to violent crimes committed by offenders who many times are already out on bail or out on parole or some other mechanism like that? But unfortunately, we've seen in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Chicago, and now in New York, these very disastrous bail policies being implemented. Historically, bail has served two functions in our criminal justice system. It's been someone is not entitled to bail if they're a flight risk, unlikely to return for their future court dates and trial, or if they're going to pose a danger to themselves or others if they were released pretrial on bail. And what many of these rogue prosecutors are doing, they're discounting that traditional analysis, basically instituting a presumption saying that even if you're accused of a very violent crime, even if you have a lengthy criminal history, we're essentially not really going to consider that, and we're going to encourage the judge to go ahead and release you without being held pre-trial. And so we've heard over and over that this can be done without damaging the safety of the community. In fact, in Chicago, where Kim Fox, the rogue DA there, has been aggressively pushing this policy, there was even a study released supposedly showing that this could be done without increasing crime rates in Chicago. Well, Paul Cassell, he's a law professor at the University of Utah. He's a former federal judge, writes a lot on criminal justice issues. He reviewed that study that Cook County, Illinois had issued, and he basically said that's nonsense. If you look at the crime statistics, if you look at who's committing the crimes, this pretrial release policy is undoubtedly leading to an increased crime rate in Chicago, and that if you implement these policies, there's a very good likelihood elsewhere that a similar crime increase would follow. And so these are very, again, very dangerous policies, very disastrous policies for the communities where they're implemented.
There's been a lot of talk about the failures of the omnibus crime bill passed in the early 90s. But when you look statistically at crime since the passage of that bill, it has declined almost every year. And I just find it curious that these folks feel like that they can look at these outcomes and think that there's going to be something different. I mean, in New York, obviously, in the last couple of years under de Blasio, you've seen 20, 30, 40% increases in crime categories there. And the whole city is basically, the trend is double-digit trend in increase in crimes.
Right. Well, and what's ironic, and I think will be interesting to see how it plays out, is, you know, the new New York City mayor, Eric Adams, he's a former NYPD captain, has pledged to restore law and order to the city, supposedly. But it seems very hard to reconcile that promise, that pledge, with what Alvin Bragg, the Manhattan DA, is pledging to do. Because even if NYPD officers were to implement a broken windows approach to policing, which is just the idea that individuals are actually held accountable for their crimes, they're arrested even for minor offenses like turnstile jumping or breaking windows out of vacant buildings, even if NYPD officers make arrests for those types of crimes, Alvin Bragg essentially said he's not going to prosecute them, and he's not going to ask for those offenders to be held without bail. And so what will happen is if an NYPD officer makes an arrest for someone who jumps a turnstile, breaks a window, or some other low-level offense, including even drug possession in some cases, prostitution in some cases, what will happen, even if they're arrested, they'll essentially be immediately cut loose back into the community with few, if any, further consequences. And so, again, it's that culture of lawlessness, Newell, that's really being fostered here, that's encouraging is essentially encouraging many of these individuals to go out, commit these crimes, and it's signaling the message that there will be few, if any, consequences, even if they are caught committing these crimes.
Zach, I know you and I will visit again. We will watch this very closely. But I don't mean to be insensitive, but you get what you deserve. I mean, you know, the citizens of New York voted for this individual. There was no secret of where he stood on these issues. You know, when the chips are down, I guess what they're going to be doing is like all the other cities have done, turn to the federal government, ask them for assistance, and thereby every citizen in this country ends up paying for this idiocracy that's going on in these major cities right now.
Well, and if that's the case, I have bad news for those cities, because unfortunately, the Biden administration has bought into this same rogue radical idea and has, in fact, nominated one of the worst rogue DAs from Boston, Rachel Rollins, to be the U.S. attorney in Massachusetts, the chief federal law enforcement officer there. So even if help from the federal government is requested, it's unclear their policies will be much different than those of the local rogue DAs.
No doubt. It'll be interesting. Zach Smith, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time and your insight.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me on. Take care.
Thank you. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.